Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, it's decision day today. All eyes will be on Croke Park later as the long-debated skirt motion goes to a vote. Delegates will decide on whether or not to allow shorts to become part of the official kit for Camogie. Last April, two motions on this issue were tabled at Congress, only to be defeated. But this time, players took action, refusing to take the field in skirts and watching as matches got postponed to force the issue to another vote. I'm joined by Gavin Cooney, sports writer with the42.ie. Morning, Gavin.
Hi, Colin.
7.30 this evening, that's when the vote will be cast. What's needed for a motion to pass and what is the motion that's before the meeting?
The motion put forward is that the wearing of the skirt will become a choice, so players will be able to tog out in a skirt or a short, providing their matching colours and in line with the other kit requirements. And it needs a two-thirds majority from the delegates present to pass. So there's no online voting. The only votes counted will be those of the delegates who turn up. Up to a maximum, I think it's around 150 delegates if everyone turns up. And a two-thirds majority is needed. And if they get that two-thirds majority, then the whole controversy will pass.
Okay, so this issue has been going on in the background for many years. We mentioned there when it came up for a vote at Congress last year to give people, to give the option of wearing shorts. When that came up, it was defeated. But, you know, it came up in May at the start of the Leinster semi-final between Kilkenny and Dublin. There wasn't a refusal to play, but there was a protest mounted.
Yeah, there was a protest, and that's where this controversy really began. It was the players speaking out, and it followed the publication of a GPA survey saying that upwards of 80% of Camogie players didn't want to be mandated to play skirts because they find it limiting, they find them uncomfortable. And it was becoming a thing for, it was almost kind of a push factor away from the sport for certain young players. These were the points that they were making. And they said in 2025, we should have the ability to wear shorts if we want. So the rules were as often happens in many things, the rules and regulations were slow in catching up with player opinion and sentiment. So that led to the kind of remarkable postponing of a Munster final and the postponement coming through on the Friday evening in anticipation of this vote at Special Congress. So given the attention that's on it, given there's been criticism of the rule from the sports minister, given that were it not to pass, we'd likely see more protests and possibly a player strike later on this year. Mm. The anticipation is that this will pass tonight.
All right. I did hear that prior to the last Congress in Kildare that two counties, Kildare and Cork, were the only counties to actually go out and canvass players on it. But there was WhatsApp polls conducted around the country at the request of the organisation to get player feeling on that. So it may be more representative this year. What do you imagine would happen if it fails, though?
I mean, all hell might break loose. I mean, we will probably see more player protests right up to player strike. Later on in the year, given, you know, one of the, as you say, like only two counties, you know, fully canvassed the opinions of players. The kind of the protest that we saw, as you mentioned, in the Leinster final, has meant that player voice piece, well, those player voices can't be ignored any longer. So, you know, is an association's delegates and its governing body really going to, you know, not listen to the wishes of its own players in as public a realm as this? It's hard to see. So the expectation is that it will pass. And if it doesn't, it's going to bring a whole lot more unwanted scrutiny and attention and criticism on the Camogie Association itself.
Okay. Gavin, last night, Ange Postecoglou's not a clown.
He was bristling at those headlines, the Spurs manager anticipation and on the eve of the Europa League final. And then he proved he's not a clown by delivering not a great amount of entertainment last night in a truly, truly awful Europa League final. But he and Spurs don't care about that because they ultimately won out against Manchester United in Bilbao last night. A first trophy for Spurs since 2008. And Ange Postecoglou, the embattled manager, delivering on his promise. He says that in his second season at the club, he always wins trophies. And well, for much of this season, that really looked more of a Hail Mary than a vow from Postecoglou, given how terrible Spurs have been in the Premier League, where they're 17th, having lost 21 matches out of 37 so far. But all was justified against a pretty poor Manchester United last night. So a great moment of vindication and glory for Postecoglou. The anticipation is he'll probably leave anyway, given how bad the league has been, but a great moment for all connected with Tottenham Hotspur.
Right, and that number 17, you know, 17 years since they won it, 17th in the Premiership. I don't know whether people want to take that as lucky or unlucky, but it's a pretty poor state of affairs for other European countries looking in, looking at people who are close to the bottom of the Premiership, one of them at least, getting Champions League football next year.
Yeah, that was the golden ticket. The winner traditionally of the Europa League has always earned a spot in the Champions League for the following season. But previously, teams used to drop down from the Champions League mid-season into the Europa League, and that didn't happen this year. So it was actually the easiest Europa League ever to win. And I think you can look at it and say these two awful English teams, 16th and 17th in the league, is a testament to how strong the English football, English Premier League is at the moment, but also its financial might over the rest of Europe. So how these two kind of failing institutions can get to the final of this competition just kind of shows that inequality of wealth that's kind of dogging the game now.
But it's presumably serious bother for Manchester United. They were at, I think, 16th, is it? And now they're not getting Champions League football. So, you know, the money implications of that are pretty hefty for the club. What's going to be the fallout in Man U?
Big fallout, as is usual. They massively need to change the squad. They need to sign a number of players to make the players who can suit the manager Ruben Amorim's very specific system and tactical asks. And the best way to do that was to win the Europa League, qualify for the Champions League, make a £100 million windfall, and then away you go. That they've failed to do that now is going to obviously slow up that process. And it just adds to the kind of the ill feeling and the sour mood around Old Trafford since Jim Ratcliffe took over. He's made kind of alarmist statements on their finances, saying that they would have been bust by last Christmas had he not invested money and had he not made the cutback. Right. He did. I think that was OTT, but they definitely needed the cash injection last night, and their devastation in the aftermath of the results would just only go to accentuate that.
Okay, Gavin Cooney, sports writer with the42.ie. Thanks for joining me. Back with news in a minute.
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.